We're just really good. I mean, honestly, we came out and played well, and we're really good when we play well. And it's, you know, I don't think we really need motivation. I don't think we need to respond to any sort of game or two. So I think we really do feel confident in ourselves when we, you know, when we play our game. So, you know, it happens sometimes, but for us, I think we just play baseball.
I know that's what AJ Hinch said, and they are really good. Cecil Shorts in for Seth Payne on a Thursday. But for me, last night felt like a statement game for the Astros about Jake Mariznick and what happened with Jake Mariznick for the last 10 days and especially the last couple of days in Los Angeles. Did it feel that way to you?
Yeah, it was definitely something that I feel like they rallied around Jake, and there was motivation to play well. You know what I mean? After a couple bad losses and then that whole situation where he's – I mean, if you think about it, for me, I always try to put myself in somebody else's shoes. If I was getting booed, if I got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball thrown in my face or my shoulder, you know what I mean, how would I feel? And the way he reacted from that, guys rallied around him, man, and he kind of led the way to yesterday. I mean, he played outstanding yesterday. And I hear what Hinch is saying, but those guys definitely were motivated and came together and played for Jake yesterday.
I think sometimes they're in a tough spot because they're not going to say, yep, we played hard because of Jake. Because obviously they're trying to play hard every night. But when you're playing 162 games, I think we can all feel, and you even talked a few days ago, Cecil, about how even in a 16-game football season, you'll get up for more games than others. And I think about being at a game and seeing, like, let's say the Rockets are in a lull and then someone delivers like a hard foul. That can kind of get you going. I know this isn't within last night's game specifically, but it really felt like what happened to Jake Mariznick the night before. If the game was closer, I think that could have been a big turning point for the Astros, but they were down so big on Tuesday, there's not a lot they can do.
Right.
They responded last night, and I know the major reason why they won is because they're good, and their bats are good, and Gerrit Cole's excellent, but there was a little something extra in the air watching that game last night.
It was definitely something extra, and it talked to your point about how, like in a 16-game season, my coach used to break it down. My receiver coach in Jacksonville, he used to say, like, it's four games. Beginning of the season, it's four games you're excited for. The next four games, you'll be it's probably primetime games, so you'll be pumped up about that. And then the last eight games, there'll be four where you'll be, you know, kind of ready for. And then the last four is like, ugh. Depending on how the season's going, it's like, ugh. Like, do you really want to play because the season's so long? So I can't imagine for 162 games
every day
that you're excited to play every single day. That's just not it's not happening. It's not possible. Especially after All-Star break and you're away for 2-4 game stretches. That's tough. 8 games straight from on an away standpoint. But for this to happen and these guys to rally around him, this is what they needed, I feel like. And this is something that can help them get going for the second half of the season. This is something that I'm kind of glad it happened. I want nobody to get hit with the ball, but he ended up being okay. He was fine. Nothing, you know, he jogged to first base, and the way he handled it was perfect, like a perfect
phenomenal
professional. But that situation really can get this team going. They can really build around this. Like, okay, listen. And they had a team meeting about it. They had a players meeting.
Yep.
And they're a team that it looks like from the outside looking in that they all get along, that they all enjoy each other, they have fun. And somebody mentioned it's a balance. They got to balance having fun and playing well. And I think this is a good start to doing that.
Well, let's listen to that because that was what Gerrit Cole said last night. And this is one of our former coworkers, Alex Del Barrio, who did some extra work on covering this game for us last night out in Los Angeles about the emotional carryover. Alex asked Gerrit Cole, was there emotional carryover from the last couple days to last night's win over L.A.?
Gerrit, was there any carryover at all emotionally from last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought we played with edge today. I thought we had fun, but I thought we played with edge. I think we're now in the second half. I think teams in our division are trying to hunt us. I think the other division leaders are doing the same thing. So it's important that we continue to work on, you know, the balance that we have between having fun and playing with edge. And I thought it was a perfect example tonight of that sweet spot. So we're going to continue to use these games to try to get better at that, get more consistent, because this is ultimately how we want to play in the postseason.
Did you feel it mute a bit after you guys got off to such a big lead?
No. I don't expect it to mute the rest of the year.
All right, so that was Gerrit Cole last night. I felt the same way that he felt while watching the game, that there was an emotional carryover. It felt like there was a little extra last night. It felt like that was more of a statement than you might normally get in a middle of July AL West game on the West Coast. It felt like there was a little bit more meaning with what happened last night.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to win. And I keep saying they rallied around Jake, but I think they also knew they got to get things going because the Oakland Athletics are serious
and they're coming.
And they have that series at home next week with them. So I think they knew they had to get things going. They did win two against the Rangers after they lost the first two.
Saturday,
so hopefully they can do the same thing with yesterday and tonight.
I wanted to get your perspective on something because as we start to preview the NFL season, we're a week away from Texans training camp opening up. We're starting to look at the division and seeing what this is going to look like. Everybody and their grandmother nationally is going to pick Indianapolis to win the division. Mm-hmm. We know that. I actually think that's a good thing. That's one of the things I like going into the season. It feels like we're a lot more unclear on what Jacksonville is going to be and what Tennessee is going to be. Landry tweeted yesterday that he is starting to feel like Tennessee could be like a sort of a big threat in the AFC South, and they could actually be pretty good. Between those two teams, who do you think is the bigger threat in the division, Jacksonville or Tennessee?
I would say Tennessee. I think if you look at the two situations that's going on, I think Jacksonville lost some key pieces on the defensive line. They lost their safety, obviously. They're starting free safety to the Texans. And then they did add Nick Foles, but I just look what Tennessee's done in the offseason as far as shoring up their offensive line and bringing in Roger Saffold, who's a 31-year-old guy who has played well for a long time. I believe he came from the Rams, if I'm not mistaken.
And they beat the Texans for Roger Saffold. Which I still can't figure out.
It doesn't make sense. You had too much money.
I agree.
You had too much money not to be able to get him. Now, I guess he wasn't in the price range maybe that Brian, because Brian Gain was here at that time.
Yes, he was. It still makes no sense to me, and I'm angry about it because Tennessee already has a better offensive line than the Texans do. They have Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
They have Ben Jones. They have Jack Conklin, and they signed Roger Saffold.
And just looking at the head coaches, I feel like with going 9-7 in your first year, talking about Mike Vrabel, I feel like his guys will rally around him and trust him a little more than they do Doug Marrone in Jacksonville. Doug Marrone's been there a little longer. They fought through some adversity. And I'm not sure Doug Marrone is a player's coach like Vrabel is. Vrabel's going to have fun with the guys. Vrabel's going to be able to communicate with the guys. And he's strict and has his ways, but he's going to be open and really get the guys involved. Whereas Marrone, I feel like he's more of a Tom Coughlin type. Well, this is the way we're going to do things. If you don't like it, you know, get off the boat.
He's kind of from that school of coaches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a hard-nosed, old-school type of guy. But if you look at the offseason moves, Roger Saffold, Adam Humphries, they added some Cameron Wake on the defensive line already with Jarrell Casey. Derek Morgan did retire. That hurt him a little bit.
They drafted that Jeffrey Simmons guy from Mississippi State. Now,
I'm not sure if he's playing, is he?
I don't know exactly when he's going to be back this year. He might be back towards the end of the season. Now, this is the guy who he punched a woman in the face in high school, or he punched a woman in high school. It was on video. Apparently, he had a squeaky clean image, as far as I understand, Mississippi State, towards ACL during the workouts for the draft. But he's considered to be like a high upside guy. Cecil, here's where I'm at. Jacksonville's got the most potential because they have the most high-end talents. I'm talking about among these two teams, Tennessee, Jacksonville. Jacksonville has more top-end talent. They have higher upside. I think their volatility is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's more solid and stable. What I worry about in Jacksonville is it feels like everybody's unhappy in Jacksonville.
Nobody seems happy at all.
Jalen Ramsey doesn't have a new deal. He's not happy. Doug Marrone, I think, has a lot of pressure on him. And so I think Jacksonville is more combustible. I think their ceiling is higher than Tennessee's ceiling, but they're combustible to the point where their floor is lower than Tennessee's. That's where I'm at. So Jacksonville, for me, is the bigger threat, but they could be worse than Tennessee.
I think they will be worse. I just think it's going to blow up over there very soon. I truly do. I don't see. They had one good year in 2017.
Great year. They should have won the AFC.
They should have. They were up at the halftime by what? Two touchdowns, something like that?
Yes, after kneeling on the football with like 50
seconds to go. Oh, Lord. We're not
going to
talk about that.
Do you think there's a chance that Tom Coughlin comes down from the executive suite and coaches them at some point this season?
No. I think he'll stay where he's at. I don't think he wants to be that guy. I think he likes where he's at. And I think he likes Doug Marrone. Because I think Doug Marrone is like a younger him. Like he's like the same. They cut from the same cloth.
They are cut from the same cloth.
Same type of coaching style, same type of vision. So I think I think that would be the case. But I just don't see – I think it's too many big names that aren't happy there. I think Jalen Ramsey is one of the big – he can be – he's to me, he's probably the best corner, arguably. Him and Patrick Peterson, the best corners in the league.
I'm with you.
And but he has a lot to do with their success. So if he's unhappy, he could make things really frustrating for those guys with just his mouth.
Real quick on this. Is this the last year that Leonard Fournette's playing in Jacksonville?
Yes, this will be the last year you see Leonard Fournette there.
What a disaster. Yeah, that's sad. They drafted Fournette over Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, and that is a mistake that is going to take.
Say that again?
They drafted Leonard Fournette over Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and that is the kind of mistake that could linger for decades, and that is not an exaggeration.
Number four?
Number four, running back. Wow. Not even like a premium position, a running back.